Well, if you can make your way to your seats, we're going to go ahead and get started. Just a couple quick announcements I want to do before we jump into the sermon today. Today is the last day for the t-shirt fundraiser. So if you're interested in purchasing a t-shirt, money is due today, and it is due to Lena Del Savio. And so if you want to give her the money for that, she can make sure the t-shirts are ordered. Just to let you know, we have raised about $300 for the building campaign through selling t-shirts. So that's a good job. Thank you, Lena. Another real quick announcement is that next week will be our official vote of voting for Corey as an elder within Passion Community Church. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that we were going to be taking that vote on the second week of September, because this is the first week, so that would be next week. So we'll do that during or right after the service next week, and so we'll have details on that for next week. But as always, we are leaving it open for discussion, so if you have a discussion or have some reason why this man should not be married to this woman, please come forward and let me know. No, I'm kidding. And then finally, you know, last night, my sister's not here because she got married last night. So I want to just wish her and her new husband congratulations. They were married last night. They were actually met first in high school. They were high school sweethearts many years ago. And their lives took them apart and then brought them back together. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be starting in verse 10. I love opportunities to preach. I love to preach anytime. Someone last night told me that I have a loud mouth, and I said, well, that comes natural as a pastor. So they're saying that it was a joke. It was not serious. I know Miss Sue is about ready to get up and start beating on someone over there. But it was in reference to yesterday during the ceremony, the mic kept going out. And so as the mic would go out, I just got a little louder. And I would speak a little louder. And then someone came up to me and said, man, do you have a loud voice? And I'm like, yeah, I have a big mouth. But I love the opportunity at any time to share God's word. But I love the opportunity sometime I like to do series of sermons. And so I try to wrap series of sermons around an idea or a Bible verse or a book in the Bible. But today happens to be one of those messages that just falls in between a few series that we're doing. And I'm excited about this message because this is a message that has been kind of percolated in my heart for a while. And I started to preach a little bit of this message last Sunday at the fair. We were up there singing as a worship team, and I had an opportunity to give the worship team a little bit of a break. And so I jump in there and share a little bit about this message. But this is one of my favorite verses that I like to speak to when I speak to children and young adults. Because we need to know, this verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, starts out with, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm going to pause there just for a moment and say, I'd like to share this verse. Because there's a couple things about here that I like to share this verse. I often do this in the context of speaking to young adults, I share this at Camp Carl. I share this with when I'm speaking to kids at CVCA and in school assemblies, all of these things. I like to share this verse because there's something important that we have to understand. That first of all, we are created. Now that might be simple, I've been blamed as being a simple folk before, and that's okay. But that simple word that we were created means that there is a creator who created us. And you can't be created unless there's someone who has created you. And so tying that into the rest of this verse, if you understand that we are his workmanship, That means that you were created by a creator to do something amazing. You are his workmanship. This verse goes on to say that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before I get too far into this, let's pause and pray and ask the Lord to bless our time here together. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for just how wonderful and loving you are to us. Lord, we thank you that even on holiday weekends where we have time off, that we can worship you. We thank you for just the ability to come into a place like this, to worship you, to exalt you, to stand before you and give you praise, because you deserve that and so much more. Lord, we ask you today that you would help us to understand that we are truly workmanship, that we are your blessings, your creation that you brought to this place, that you have formed us in a way that we may not ever understand, but we need to grasp a hold of. So Lord, help us today. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you just reside inside of our hearts and our minds and our spirits and our soul, to keep us from falling away. Keep us from falling away from that good works that you created us to do. Help us to grasp a hold of what you see in us, Father. Not our own mind, our own hearts, but what you see, Father. Lord, open our ears, open our minds, open our senses so that we can hear from you, Holy Spirit, as you open up these verses to us today. Help us to walk in your love, in your spirit, because you deserve everything that we have, Father, and we give it to you. Bless this time together. Make my words not my own, but truly your words, Father, as we do your will in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the things that I hear often, and the reason why I like to share this message, is that often you hear people say, I'm just not that good. I'm just not good enough. I'm just not this. I'm just not that. I don't have the ability to do this. Or I don't have the strength to do that. Or I don't have this, and I don't have that. And I often remind people that, you know what, the blessing of living in a relationship with Jesus Christ is that it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. And as I share this message, I often hear people say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. You know, someone has told me that I'm not that good. Or, you know, a lot of times you hear a kid or a child come up to you and say, they made fun of me and said I'm not good enough to be on their team or something like that. And we have these struggles. Well, what I learned is that kids often don't understand that they are created as a workmanship. But let me continue on that, because it's not just children that need to be reminded of that. We as adults need to be reminded that you were created to do a good work, that you are a good work. You are a workmanship. When someone gives a picture or a result, I know Pastor Chaz likes to do woodworking. Pastor Chaz doesn't bring his woodworking that he does up and says, look how great this is, and he brings it up and it's two splintered pieces of wood, right? He would never do that. That's what he keeps in his shop. The things that he brings forward to his wife, or he brings forward for gifts, or those types of things that he does, he brings forth that are good workmanship. Something that he's proud of, something that he can put effort into, something that he's just happy to display. Recently, my mom has an outdoor plug, and the plug just didn't look right. It didn't fit into her decor of her outside. And so she asked me, she goes, can you build me a fake birdhouse? And I said, a fake birdhouse? And she said, yeah, I want to use it to cover up the plug. And I said, sure. And so I spent hours in my garage building this. I actually almost cut off the tip of my finger. And so I'm out there and I'm working in the garage and I build this fake birdhouse. I'm so proud of this. I use cedar shingles on the top and I painted it and I did all of this stuff. So I take it over to her house and I go to put it on, and guess what? Doesn't fit. And at that point I'm like, well, I'm not proud of this anymore, right? I was so proud of this artwork that I had created, and I take it over there and I use it and it doesn't work. And so I told my mom, I said, I'll start over. And so I went home and I did. I started over. But this time, I learned from the mistakes I made the first time. I made it the right size. I measured twice and cut once instead of cutting once and measuring twice. And I painted it differently, and I made some changes to the design and those types of things. And I was so proud of that, and I took that over, and I set it down, and it fit perfectly, and it just looked great. And so yesterday, as people were walking into my sister's wedding, they're walking past, and they go, "That's so cute. Where'd you get that from?" And I could hear my mom going, "My son made it for me." She was proud of it, and so was I. I was proud of this work that I had done, because I felt like I did a good work. I produced something that was worthy for what was there. The problem with this is, there's no problem with that, but the thing of it is that we are God's creation, his workmanship. God would not release us into this world unless he was proud of what he has done. If you look at the story of Genesis all the way through the whole Bible, what we find is that it is a story that God has created something amazing for us. He created us as something amazing, and he's showing us off to the world. And he wants us to bond with him, to be with him. But this verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, says that we are his workmanship. We are created. We have come from a creator. But then it says that we are created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. Do you know that Jesus created you not to sit here on Sunday morning and just do nothing? Do you know that Jesus created you so that you can just go through the week and do absolutely nothing and sit on the couch and watch TV? No, he didn't create you to do that. He created you to do something. He created you for a purpose. He created you for a plan. He created you for good works. This is what the scripture is saying. This is what the Bible is all about. The Bible is all about us finding out what we should be doing here on this earth so that we can win more people to Christ before we go to heaven and enjoy our eternity there. But we have all been given a gift. We have all been given something inside of us so that we can do these good works. We are called to do these good works in him. The question that I ask is, do you know that you were created for good works? Do you know that you were created to do something? Do you know that you were created to be out there? God didn't just create you again to sit here and do absolutely nothing with your faith. God created you and has given you the gifts, the callings, the passions, the purposes, all of those things for you to have a purpose to go out into this world and make a difference for him. God chose his perfect gift, his perfect creation, to share his perfect love with the world around us. And that perfect gift, that perfect creation, is you and I. He created us in that way. I think one of the greatest failings of believers is that the fact that they have not yet realized that they were created by a God to do good work. Theologically speaking, we could spend hours and hours and hours unpacking this, right? Do I have a calling to be a pastor? Do I have a calling to do this? Do I have it? That's what people mostly think. Most of the time when you think about you're created to do good work, people often look at this and say, is Paul speaking to Timothy? And we're going to read a verse from Timothy where Paul is speaking directly to Timothy. But we often look at this and say, what am I created to do? Am I created to be in a professional ministry? Am I ministry as a profession, I should say? Am I created to do something? See, that's what we often ask. But the reality of it is, the truth of it is that we were all in this room created to do a good work. Every single one of you. Even babies were created to do good works. And by the way, I'll never complain about a baby crying in church because I'd rather hear a crying baby than no babies at all. But we are often looked at this and said, we often look at this and we often think about this and say, oh, unless I'm a pastor, unless I work for the church, unless I do this, that's how I professionally, that's how I share my faith. So we often look at, and we often try to detail the job of sharing our faith to the people who work in the church. The truth of the matter is that that has been wrongly assumed for too many years. Thousands of years we have interpreted scripture as in a paid professional needs to go and do this. When the reality of it is that the paid professional isn't the one that's supposed to be sharing the word of God at all to the people. They can be. It should be my job as well. But it is us equipping you all to go and then share for you to do that because you are the ones that have been given a good work inside of you to do that. Jesus planned, God planned, way before you were even born. He formed you in the womb, is what Scripture says. And so in your womb, in your mother's womb, that'd be kind of hard to do, right? In your mother's womb, you were formed. You were given skills. You were given passions. You were given abilities that God is saying, this is what you're going to have. And so he's forming those all inside your mother's womb so that when you were born, you could fit and fill a void that's left here on this earth. Every single one of you has a sphere of influence, has a job, has ability that I don't have. By the way, Jay, I meant to say this before. You and Jen are both right. That picture was taken by her phone and also Nick Billock, who attended our church at that time. Two different cameras, same picture, same light, in two different places in the pool, which is amazing in its own right. I don't know why I had to say that just now, but I had to clarify that. I thought about that. That popped in my mind. Sorry. ADD much? No. Shiny dime, look. No. But the reality of it is that we often miss. This is where it came from. I've tied it all back in together now. We often miss the miracles of God in our life. Do you know sometimes we look for God to just heal people? We look for people to just fall over when we pray for them. We look for all of these things. We want all of these miracles to happen. But the reality is some of the greatest miracles that God does is giving someone up and off their behind to go share their faith with their neighbor. To go to work and share with your coworkers. To share Christ with them around it. That to me is one of the greatest miracles. Doesn't mean that we are just, not living life. Listen, we all have jobs and we have to do those jobs. But the reality of it is that your job as a Christian is to share your faith. It's all of our jobs to do that. He has a vision for us. He has a reason for creating you. He has an idea. He has this vision. You know, often we hear this phrase, without vision, people perish, right? Well, the vision I want to introduce you to is a vision that God has given to you. It's not my vision. It's not someone else's vision. It's God's vision that he has implanted into your heart and into your mind to go forth and do what he has called you to do. The greatest thing, the greatest anything that I can give to you is for to tie you into what God wants you to do here on this earth. That's the greatest thing that I as a pastor can do, is to help you realize that it's not my vision, it's not even technically your vision, it's God's vision for your life. And when we tie ourselves into that vision, then that's the greatest thing that can ever happen to us. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. It is our job to align ourselves with that plan. It's our job to align ourselves with him. It's our job to seek out what he wants us to do. See, often we go out there, and I've shared this before in sermons past and probably share it again in sermons in the future, but what happens too often is we get ourselves in the midst of something and we're like, God, bless me where I'm at. Pat and I talk about this often with purchases and other things where God has directed him and I and other people to purchase different things. And we get, God just simply makes everything fall into place when it's meant to be. Never had an experience where it just meant to be? When my wife and I purchased our home that we're living in, we've lived there almost 18, 19 years now, but when we purchased the house, we were working on the deal and we were looking at the house and we went in to look at the house. The house was completely empty until we opened up one of the cupboards. When we opened up one of the cupboards, I looked at my wife and I said, this is our house. And she's like, why? And I said, because there's a glass inside that cupboard and it's meant to be. And she said, what's that glass? And I opened it up and it was a Garfield glass. Now, if anyone knows Garfield, I absolutely love Garfield. Garfield and I share the same birthday, and we share the same love for lasagna, okay? And so when I opened up and the only glass in that cupboard was a Garfield glass, I'm like, I know it. This is the house. Yeah. It's been a blessing since then. And it's been a wonderful opportunity for us to live out God's blessing for our life. But God has a blessing for each and every one of us. There's a purpose and a plan. God did not just haphazardly say, oh, wait a minute, this is going on. Okay, I'm going to plug Miss Tanya over here, and I'm going to plug Pastor Chaz over here. I'm going to plug Chad over here because, oh, we got to, no, he's had a plan since the very beginning. And in that plan, since the very beginning of time, included you. He knew that you were going to be part of that plan. And so he has created you to live out that plan. Isn't that amazing to think about? There's a God in creation, a God who loves us so much so, and he has a specific plan for your life. He has a specific, he knew exactly where you're going to be this day, today, hearing this message. God has a plan for your life. It's a good plan that God made for us. And it fits into his master plan for this earth. Nothing you do is beyond him, and nothing, and he's already accounted for our lackings. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God has already accounted for our laziness. Let's be honest. There's times that I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I'm just tired. I'm just going to take a break today, right? I'm going to be lazy today. Isn't it amazing that God has already accounted for that? Isn't there times when you go into the grocery store and you feel like God has leading you to pray or speak to that person in the grocery store, and you're just like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm just too busy. I'm going to, and you bypass all of that, and then you get home and you feel that still small voice bubbling up inside of you like, why did you not listen to me? You know what? Isn't it a wonderful thing that God accounted for that? Does it make it right that you didn't listen to God and didn't go talk to that person? No, there's an action that you should have followed, and you should have listened, and you should have done that, because maybe there's a blessing in that conversation. But it's a blessing in the long run that God has already accounted for that. There's a beauty in that. There's an acceptance that when we look at this, we can say, I'm not responsible. Listen, every single one of us, none of us in this room is responsible for winning the whole entire earth to Christ. You are asked to have a relationship that you love Jesus so much so that you want to share Christ with everybody in the whole entire earth. But God has accounted for that, and he's given you the purpose and the plan. I get excited when I think that God has a purpose directly for me. I get excited to think that it is a good plan, because oftentimes my plans don't work out, right? I try and I try and I try and I do all that I can, and I'm like, it just doesn't work out. But it's amazing to think that God's plan is going to work out. And all we have to do is trust in him. And we always just have to continue asking ourselves, am I doing what God wants me to do this day, today? That's the question that we have to ask. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I love this verse. I love Paul's writing. Paul is writing this to Timothy, and he begins by saying, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Do you know that Jesus has looked at you and he says, I have judged you faithful, and I'm appointing you to service. I am choosing you. Not like when we were in middle school or primary school, when you're the last one to be chosen for the dodgeball team or whatever it might be. No, he chose you first. And he's appointed you to that service. He has said, I want you on my team, and I have a specific plan for your life. And I have a specific purpose for your life. And also, in addition to that, he judged, this is Paul saying, he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Can you imagine if you're here today and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, meaning you accept him into your heart, you said, yes, I want his plan for my life. I love him. I want to repent of my sins. I want to turn away, and I want to walk away from that. God has looked upon you and says, you are faithful, and I have a service for you. Paul goes on to say, though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. Paul's words are just amazing. He's so poetic, right? I mean, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. I mean, who talks that way today? Not too many people, right? If you meet someone on the counter or on the street side that says that, you're going to be looking at them a little strange. But in this verse, it works great. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Paul is the one who killed Christians. Paul went around and made sure all of the damage that he could make, he was making to Christians. And yet God still chose him for service. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think that my past and my present, I think sometimes my failings, I think sometimes all of these things that weigh upon me heavily keep me from doing the good works that God has created me to do. Sometimes I just feel that way. You ever feel that way? Like, I'm just not good enough. I just can't. I don't have enough energy. Listen, the older I get, the more I feel this way. I'm wearing this stupid band still. Because you know what? My elbow hurts like heck. And every time I get up to do something, it reminds me of how bad it hurts. Before, it was plantar fasciitis. Doreen and I shared miserably about... Is miserably a word? Is that right? Miserably? Yeah, there we go. Okay. But the older I get, the more failings I feel. Right? And I keep thinking to myself, how can I do anything? And then I just have to pause for a moment. And say, wait, I was nowhere near as bad as Paul was. I didn't seek out Christians to persecute them and kill them, by the way. Paul wasn't just persecuting them saying like, oh, you're a bad Christian. No, when we talk about Paul's persecution, what he was doing, he was killing Christians. He was putting them in jail. He was whipping them, stoning them, doing everything that he could to keep their message from moving forward. None of those kept Jesus from using him. None of them. So today, if you're here today and you think, man, I'm just not good enough, guess what? Either was Paul, but Jesus still used them. My gossiping is too hard to overcome. No, it's not. God overcame persecution in Paul. We sit here and think, oh, maybe I'm not, I don't have the strength, I don't have this, I don't have that. All of those things are just excuses that you have and that they came from the devil. The truth of the matter is he has given you everything you need. The truth of all of these things is that the past and present failings are just stepping stones. They're just stepping stones from getting you to do what he wants you to do. God will take the negative that's been in your life and turn it to a positive. It is why some of the greatest people that serve in CR and serve in other addiction ministries and those types of things are those that have gone through addiction and have been raised up out of that. Why? Because they can speak about what happened to them. They can relate with those that are failing in addictions. They can relate with those that are having issue. And so when they speak to them, God wants to use your failings. God wants to use your mouth. God wants to use your sin for good. Because scripture says what? All things are possible for him, but also he makes all things good. So everything that you've experienced in your life that has been negative, God wants to use to move forward. I once remember when I had a really bad kidney stone. I had it for 2 weeks and I couldn't get rid of it. It kept coming and going. It would come and go and it was terrible. I'd be walking. I'd try to go to work, and as I was going to work, all of a sudden the kidney stone would just hit. I'd fall to my knees. And I remember having an argument with God one day, and I'm sitting in my bed, railing in pain, because I'm like, will you just take this thing out already? Yes, sometimes I have those types of conversations with God. I'm tired of this. And I remember just... It wasn't that voice. It wasn't a booming, Jason, this is God, I'm speaking to you. But it was just that thought that immediately went to my head and says, now you can relate to those who are in pain today. And I thought, wasn't there an easier way to teach me that lesson, Lord? But I realized that it wasn't more than a month or two after I had passed a kidney stone, a friend of mine who I was working with had a condition that caused extreme pain, and it wouldn't go away. And I was able to sit down and talk with him and say, listen, I know how you're feeling. I've kind of experienced a little bit of that. It's not the same thing, but I've experienced a little bit of that, and I know how you're feeling today, so let me just pray for you. I had mercy. I had compassion. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Bonnie. I had compassion for him. Because of what he was going through, I could relate to where he was at. And through that, I was able to not only relate with him, but I was also being able to pray for him. And I will tell you that that day, he did not give his life to Christ. But eventually, over the course of years, he did come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. Sometimes our past and present failings are exactly what God needs to use in your life so he can continue that good work that he has for you in your life today. Sometimes we just have to understand that. We have to grasp a hold of that, yes, I have not always done the right thing. Yes, I have made mistakes. Yes, I have said the wrong things at certain times. But those times are times that if I'm open to God, I can learn from what he has taught me through those situations and help me become who I have today. Paul is a perfect example of this, as we have read in 1 Timothy. Paul knew leadership. Paul knew how to relate to people. Paul knew how to navigate his way through the Roman. Paul's goal was to speak Christ to Caesar. That was Paul's goal. For Paul to do that, he knew what to say. He knew how to say it. Sometimes when he's persecuted, he says, I am a Roman citizen. Why is he telling them that he's a Roman citizen? Well, because a Roman citizen, other Roman soldiers are not allowed to abuse other Roman citizens. So Paul knew how to use the system because of where he came from. If Paul would not have gone through those things and gone through his past, he would have never understood how to navigate his way so that he could get up to the places that he was able to go and share Christ with those around him. Today, we have to understand that God has and will use your past to navigate through your life, to share Christ with those around. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For hope for what he sees. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he searches hearts, knows that what's in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, and for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, I'm reading this verse to you because I think there's a couple things in here that we need to pull out. There's so much more that we could talk about that we just don't merely have enough time. First off, let me just say that we believe that you have a choice. Paul says, when he says that we were predestined, this isn't the theological belief of predestination. And for those that don't know what predestination, it means that predestination means that God has in his foreknowledge and his understanding, he has chosen some to be saved and some not to be saved. That's what the theological idea of predestination means. Now, we believe that God made a way for all of us to be saved, and it is your choice to choose whether you want to be saved or not. God is not going to force you to do that. We also believe, though, that in God and his supreme knowledge and his understanding has seen both the beginning and the end, so he understands whether you're going to choose or you're not going to choose. God didn't make a choice before creation and says, Bonnie's going to choose, but this person over here is not going to choose. We believe that God, before the creation of time, chose to say, you can choose whether you want to be saved or not, and it is your choice, but I'm going to know whether you choose or not. So our brothers and sisters who live and believe in predestination believe that God has ultimately chosen them to be saved, and he's chosen others not to be saved. It's a theological difference. We still love our brothers and sisters, even though they're wrong. But that's okay. No, I'm kidding. It's their choice. I'm not, really. But it's their choice. It's their choice about predestination. Isn't that kind of funny? But the reason why I bring this up is because we have to understand what Paul is saying here. I believe that what Paul is saying is that, and those whom he predestined, what he says in verse 30, what he's saying is that he understands from the beginning of time that you are going to be setting right where you're setting today. You're going to have the faith that you have, and you're going to have that ability. Now, does that mean that we are let go of any decisions and consequences of our actions and our choices? No, we still have a choice. You have a choice to wake up every morning and say, I want to be closer to Jesus Christ. I want to have a relationship with him. I want to grow in that relationship with him. But God's going to know that because he is supremely knowledgeable. He knows all things. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That's what Scripture says. So why do I bring this verse up? Because of a couple things. First of all, if we go all the way back to the beginning of this, verse 19 says, "For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of sons of God." Do you know that the creation around you, all of the people around you that you know or may not know, are eagerly waiting for you to take up your position in Jesus Christ and say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ? Do you know that the world around us is eagerly waiting? Maybe eagerly is the wrong word to use here, because when we think about the world around us, we don't think that they're eagerly waiting for Christians to stand up, right? What they don't know is that their soul, their spirit, the hole inside of them, because they don't know yet, they do not yet know God, is eagerly waiting for someone to introduce them to Jesus Christ. The real version of Jesus Christ, the real love of Jesus Christ, they're waiting for that. Creation is waiting for that. Our job as believers, our job as those that are here on this earth, is to open up the love of God to the people around us and to show them that. Creation, when we say creation, we're not just talking about people. Do you know that the world around us, nature itself, is waiting for us to take the anointed position of a follower in Jesus Christ, to share with the world around us the true love of Jesus Christ? Why? Think about it. In old times, in disciples, when Jesus was walking this earth, what happened? Sickness bowed to Jesus. Healings came to those that Jesus walked in. Now, when Jesus leaves, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon the people. We just read this in Bible study the other day, on Thursday. If you read the book of Acts, what do you find? In the book of Acts, what you find is that Peter and John were able to walk down the street, and their very shadow healed people. This wasn't Jesus now. This is Peter and John. This is the same Peter who denied Christ three times just a few weeks before. This is the same John who was a fisherman and didn't want to do anything. We find them now, by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that came upon them, having the power to walk down the street, and their mere shadow healed them. When we hear about this, when we know about that, and we tie this in with this verse today in Romans chapter 8, what Paul is saying is that when the creation waits, what the creation is, what he's talking about, the creation, is he's talking about us walking in the power that was been given to us. So that when we walk down the street, do you know it's still possible for you to walk down the street and see healings fall upon people? That didn't go away. God didn't just decide to say, I'm going to give it to those guys, but no one else gets it. No, that same spirit that was given to John and Peter and all of the other disciples in that room that gave them the power to do those things has been given to you. The reason why we don't see those things today is because we are not walking in those power. We're not walking in those things. We're not walking in that relationship like they were. They were so close to God that they yearned. They weren't forced. They didn't go because they had to. But every day, they wanted to be in relationship with God, and they wanted to be in relationship with each other. And so they shared that life together. They shared that time together. Creation is eagerly waiting for the sons of God to stand up. And when we say that sons, the children of God, also later on Paul says the children of God, but it's not just the sons of God, it's all of us. God is longing for us to have such a relationship with him that we're tied in to his workmanship, understanding our position and our power and what he has given to us so that we can go out and we can see the same miracles that Peter, John, and the other disciples saw during Acts. For in this hope, verse 24 says, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. What Paul is talking about here is that he's saying he's hoping in the power of Jesus to fall upon them, to walk in that way, to be with them, to do those things. But I love what Paul also says, because Paul does something very interesting here. A lot of times what I hear Christians say is, I just don't know what to do. One of the failings that we often see, first of all, is that we don't believe that we have that same power that Peter and John had. We don't have that same ability that Peter and John had. We don't have those things to do that. The very next failing that I see with many Christians is that I just don't know what to do. It's almost like getting overwhelmed. Have you ever tried to clean your house and you've been it's so dirty that it's just overwhelming and you don't know where to begin? My garage is that way right now. I just don't know where to start, right? And so what do you do? Instead of getting down and starting to do the work, what do? Go do something else. Yeah, you procrastinate. You go do something else. Oh, I think I'll go do laundry, or I'll go spend some time on the hammock outside because I just don't want to do this. See, the truth of the matter is that oftentimes in our faith, we have gotten so overburdened that we don't know where to begin. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to start. See, God has created you to be a masterpiece. God has created you to be something special. God has created you and wants to use everything that has happened in your life to change the lives of the people here on this earth, to do something different. And we often fail because we get bogged down in the what's and hows and how to get started. The Failure to Launch, wonderful book that came out a few years ago, Failure to Launch. If you've never read the book, you need to read the book. It's really good. And it talks about how many ministries, how many people, how many jobs, how many businesses fail to get off the starting blocks. You know why they fail to get off the starting block? Because they're so overwhelmed with getting started that they never get started. Jesus, I believe, knew that. And so he gave us specific duties. He gave us specific ideas, but he also said, when I leave this earth, and Pastor Chaz did a wonderful job of doing this during communion, but he said, when I leave this earth, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you the Spirit. Why? Because when you feel bogged down in the duties of all the things that are here on this earth and what you have to do, all you have to do is take a step back and say, okay, Holy Spirit, lead me. Show me what I'm supposed to do. How do I get started? Where do I go? What do I do? He's the one that's supposed to be with us today. He is God incarnate in our lives today, the Holy Spirit. He's the one who's giving you that direction to move forward. He's the one who's reminding you that you are a workmanship made in God's perfect image to do good works that he created for you to do. I love people who want to do specific duties or have specific visions. I love that. I love when just someone comes up and says, man, I really have this heart to do this. Great. Go do it. Wonderful. Go do it. That's great. But do you know that there's a lot more than just that? Jesus, if you feel so bogged down and you're not asking for help from the Holy Spirit, then first of all, if you don't want to ask for help from the Holy Spirit, then the very next thing to do is you start with the basics. What did Jesus do when he came to this earth? It's the very first thing he did. He walked to a wedding in the Cana of Galilee. The very first miracle that Jesus ever did is he turned water to wine. I know some of you are going, give me some of that water. I'll do that. I wish I had the power to turn water into wine, right? The truth of the matter is that Jesus was fulfilling a need, a specific need that only he could do, by the way. I have not yet seen anyone here on this earth turn water into wine. And if you think you can do it, I don't think I want to taste it. So, but the truth of the matter is that beyond that, what did Jesus do after that? He went and he shared with people. He loved people. He fed people. He was with widows. He was with children. He was with those who needed help. All of Scripture. Listen, if you don't know what to do, and you want to know what, if you're having a hard time grasping what God's vision is for your life. I know one of the things that people often say is, I can't grasp a hold of what that vision is. I can't grasp a hold of what God wants me to do. I don't know where to start. I'm having a failure to launch because I don't know where to start. Well, let me suggest that you start with the basics. What are the basics? Prayer, worship, serving God. Start feeding food to people that need help. If you want God's vision for your life, it starts with doing what he has already instructed us to do. There's a reason why they call this the Bible. Someone, and I don't know who said it, so I can't give them credit, but someone at one point said Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, right? Basic instructions. What are those basic instructions? Pick up and open up the New Testament and start following what it says. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's one of the commandments, right? Matthew 28, one of the greatest, we think it's the greatest commandment, and that is to go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You don't need a writing on the wall. You don't need God to come down right here in the small. It would be great, Lord. I'm not saying you can't do it. You can do it if you want to. Come down. I'm open for that. You don't need any of that. What we really need is Christians who will open up their scripture and start doing what's inside this book. We need people who are saying, listen, I'm good enough. I don't know the future plan that God has for me. I don't know the vision that he wants. I'm not speaking for myself, but I'm speaking just in general. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and do the basic things. I'm going to go feed those who are hungry. I'm going to help out the widows. I'm going to help out the children. I'm going to go spend time at a soup kitchen. What's that? Oh, okay. You're hungry. Oh, feed me. I'm hungry. Hey. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to do the basic things that I'm supposed to do. See, the problem of it is that we get too wrapped up in these grand visions. We want God, and he will. Listen, here's the most beautiful thing about all of this. When you do the basic things that God has instructed you to do, that's when the vision of the greater things come in play. When you use the giftings and the callings that God has given to you, and you go forward and you do those things, the very next thing is what God will ask you to do. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account for which I am in prison. Do you get that? Did anyone else catch that? He is in prison, and he's asking for an open door which he can share Christ. This wasn't, oh, give me the boldness that I can go over and speak to my neighbor and share Christ with them. Or give me the boldness to go pray for the lady at the store who seems like she needs help. Or this or that. No, this was, give me, the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account for which I am in prison. He goes on, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. See, this idea of a specific vision comes when we are doing the basic things that God has called us to do. When you do these things, when you ask God for open doors, to have clear sound, clear voice to share, to walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Not wasting time, but making the best use of time. Letting our speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer to each person. The very idea here is that we must use the time that God has given to us to do the basic things, and then once we're completed and doing those basic things, God will give you even more. We're looking for this grandiose plan. We're looking for something that's going to bring the walls down, so to speak. But we're not yet Jericho. We're not yet have the trumpeters where we can surround the walls. We need to train people how to blow those trumpets. We need to train people how to march. We need to do those things. So how do you do that? You do all of those things by just doing the basic things that God tells you to do. And that is to go love the community around you. Go love the people that are beside you. Go share food with those that need food. Go pray for people that need prayer. Share Christ with those that need to hear. The specific vision for your life will come when you are doing the basic things that make us Christians, being like Jesus. When you are like Jesus, then Jesus will reveal more to you. It's like any good manager in any good business, and Jesus is the greatest manager ever has. You're not going to give the grandiose plan and promote someone who's doing absolutely nothing.
That's right.
There is some pain in some of those things there. But think about it. If you go to work every day and you do the least amount of work that you can get done, and you waste time on Facebook, and you waste time going on smoke breaks or lunch breaks or any of those things, and then someone else gets promoted, and you go, like, why did I get promoted? Well, you didn't do any of the work that person did. The reason why you get promoted is because you put in the work. You do the basic things that you're supposed to do, and you do them well. And when you do those things, you get promoted. The same is true with the Word of God and the will of God and the vision of God for your life. God has a grandiose plan for your life, but until you start doing the basic things and showing yourself worthy, why would He bless you with any more? He wants to bless us. He wants us to have all of those things. But He wants us to do them right and to do the basic things. And then He will promote us from within. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and I'm going to ask you to stand. For many years of my life, I was praying for a specific vision, and I got one. I'll never forget the dream that I had for 2 weeks, and then to have a waitress in California remind me of a dream that I had when I was 16. This was 7 years later I can't do math. Where's Christy? Can't do math. What's 16? What's 23 minus 16, Christy?
Seven.
I guess I can do math. Look at that. I'm good. 7 years prior to that dream, or 7 years post that dream, a waitress in California reminds me of a dream I had when I was 16 years old. I can't tell you that I was a perfect Christian because I wasn't. But what I can tell you is that I had made a commitment to do the basic things in Christianity. I was going out and feeding anyone I could find. I was helping widows. When I found out that this person next to us was without a husband, I'd go over and mow their lawn. I'd help them cut down trees. I do those types of things. My neighbor on one side she wasn't a widow because her husband was a long-haul trucker. And so he was gone for like 2 weeks at a time. So she needed help doing the basic things. So I'd go over and do those basic things. Go over and help her. Some of the things that she couldn't do on her own because her husband wasn't around because he was driving truck. He was making a living. See, the truth of the matter in all of this is that simply, if we're doing the good works that we were created to do, God is going to want to lavish you with more. If we're failing to do those good works, well, then God wants you to pass the test. And that test is not, am I good enough? Am I all of this? No, it's, what's your relationship with Him like? Let me get back to simply this before we jump into this worship song. And that is, all of this is not because we have to. It's because we have a relationship with God and we should want to. God so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son. God so loved you that He created inside of you a good work to be done. Now the question is, do you love Him enough to go out into this world and do the work that He created you to do? Do you love Jesus enough to feed the poor? Do you love Jesus enough to help the widows? Do you love Jesus enough to help the kids? There's a reason why most of our ministries go around that. Do you understand that? We feed the kids at the school with food bags. We do ministry. I love to do ministry at Camp Carl. Why? Because those are the basic things. Those are the things that we're supposed to be doing as Christians. Sharing love with those around us. It's called outreach. It's called sharing. I mean, in a few weeks, we'll be doing cotton candy and popcorn. Is cotton candy and popcorn really going to make a difference in anyone's life? Probably not. It'll give them cavities and give kernels suck in their teeth, right? No, but the love, what we're doing is we're sharing love. We're saying someone loves you. It's why we did pancake breakfasts for so many years. Why? Because we wanted to say God loves you. Let's do the basic things and let's do them really well. And I guarantee you that while you're doing those basic things, the basic things that Christ calls us to do, when we do those things, God will reveal his grand plan for you in your life and ask you to do even more. And you can take that step up. You can be promoted to that next vision, which I guarantee is still going to include feeding the poor, being with the widows, praying for your neighbors, sharing Christ with those around you that don't know him. We were created to do good works. But my question to all of us is, are we doing those works? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for all that you have done in our lives. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for just the blessings that you have given to us. We thank you for creating us in the way that you did. We thank you for every step that you have made for us. You have given us everything, Father. You gave us the example of your Son, who loved this world so much so that he was able to die on the cross for us. And then, because you didn't want us to be alone, you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. You've done everything to share your love with us. You've created us perfectly. You've given us at every turn everything we need to be successful. So may we today get back to loving you the way that you deserve, to do those things that we should be doing because of that relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you just envision, that you open up our eyes, open up our ears, open up our hearts and our minds to go out and see the need, where the need is, Father, to fill that need, to feed the poor, to bless the kids, to help widows and others that need help in our community, to be there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because God loves them. Help us today, Father, to do that. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's in this room or that's at home online that's never given their life to Christ before, may today be that day where they say, I accept you for who you are. I accept the love, the sacrifices that you've made for me. I repent of my sin. I turn away from those and I come towards you, Father. And I confess with my heart that you are Lord and Savior of my life and that you have created me in that way. Help us today to see that. And Father, finally, I just want to speak to those that are in this room right now that still are listening to the lies of the devil that says you are no good. You don't have the power. You don't have the ability. I want to strike that down right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that be silent. That is not true. Each and every one of us in this room has been created for good works, has been created to do the purposes that you have placed in our life to do. And so therefore, God, we want to walk in that power. We want to walk in that might. We want to walk in that ability that you have given to us. No longer will we believe the lies that the devil wants to tell us, that the enemy wants to say to us, that we are not good enough and that we are just failing in all ways. We are not. Because we have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And you make all things good. You make all things perfect. May we walk in that today as we do your will. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. And I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom,
I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is the shadows burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Sorry, that you have realized that you have the power. I'm so tired of looking upon the faces of believers and seeing defeat. We should not walk in defeat. We have not been defeated. In fact, we have been exalted with Him who is the exalted one. We have been given power for the one who is powerful. We have been given strength through the one who has all strength. We have been given ability to the one who has all ability. We need to stop as Christians, stop walking in defeat, and start walking in that power that has been given to us. It is until we go out and walk in that power that all creation will groan until that day that He comes back. It is our job as believers to do that today. May I encourage you to walk in that way. Walk in power. Hold your head up high. Know who you serve. You serve the one who is the greatest of all. When we walk in that power, we can do all His things that He has asked us to do, living out the life that He has given to us. May you be blessed. May you walk in that power and that ability today as you go out this door to face what God has for you, sharing the love and the power and the grace that He has given to us. Jesus, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time. Send us forth from this place to be Your hands and feet. Bless us with the power and the strength that we need to serve You today. In Jesus' most wonderful and holy name, amen and amen. God bless you all. We'll see you again next week. Have a wonderful week.
Amen.